little more than halfway through the show here on Bang the Book Radio. Just want to remind you about PropSwap and all the great opportunities that are available over there for the NCAA tournament here. There will be some NIT futures posted as well, I'm sure. They've got NBA, NHL, college hockey. They got a lot of great futures tickets available for purchase over there at PropSwap. You can check it out, propswap.com/BTB. Sellers post their tickets. You can get odds better than any sports book. If you want to sell your tickets and hedge and get some value here out of the positions that you've been holding, that's what you can do over at PropSwap. Very cool product. Very good idea. Great idea for anybody that wants to, you know, as I mentioned, get some money out of a futures ticket already. Maybe hedge against a draw that you don't like so much for a futures bet that you've made. So head on over to propswap.com/BTB. Make sure you check that out. Legal to buy tickets in 12 states. See what it looks like for you in your local area when it comes to selling those tickets. But, you know, great idea over there from Ian and the guys at PropSwap. So please make sure you check that out at propswap.com/BTB. We'll keep this train rolling here with our next professional handicapper. That is Tony George over at Doc Sports. Tony, how's it going today, man?
Good. Approaching March Madness and, of course, NIT tournament and the others begin this evening, and some guarded optimism, Adam, to say the least. And so, you know, we're definitely taking a low volume approach based on what I've seen this season, and including last weekend in the conference tournament finals, which many of them were just, I don't know if you'd say shocker anymore, because anybody could beat anybody, and it's a parity filled year with a lot of surprises, but approaching it with some optimism. But I'm going to be very guarded and very low volume here, because there's a lot of landmines out there.
Well, and before we talk college basketball here, the Major League Baseball season starts tomorrow over in Japan, which is crazy. But also, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. We've kind of put NBA on the back burner on the shows here to cover a lot of this college basketball stuff during conference tournaments and March Madness. But with so many eyes on March Madness, with the NBA year that you're having, you got to love the opportunities over in that market.
Yeah, I've done well here. We lost a big one last night. We had a big one on Phoenix against Chicago, playing on back-to-backs on a long road trip, and a little bit of a shocking score there. Phoenix didn't shoot very well, but other than that setback, we have been, I think, 47-27 our last 74, and having a great year. And this always is a week where you want to really watch those NBA lines as these games start to unfold. They tend to be not so sharp. They all use computer programs, these books do, and algorithms, and it spits out a number. But a lot of things, when those numbers spit out, they pretty much, that's where they come out with their line at. But a lot of times they don't take into account some of the little nuances and different happenings that are occurring in the NBA, especially this time of year where you have teams resting players. You know, 76ers are resting Joel Embiid tonight because they got Boston on deck. And I mean, some of these little things that they tend to overlook a little bit. And if you can gain a 1 or 2 point edge in the NBA, that is substantial. And they'll adjust the lines late. So the one thing about the NBA betting is when you do decide to pull the trigger on an NBA game, you want to pull it early because books will catch up after a while because sharps will hit them and they'll adjust the line. But especially early in the day, you can find some value in some of these lines in the NBA with all the happenings going on. And, of course, their eyeballs are looking ahead to Major League Baseball. They're worried about adjusting not only just the games that are coming out at them, but you're getting a lot of futures action. And I just posted one on Twitter, one of my best bets. I posted my ticket up on Twitter this morning. You get my at T George Sports. You give that out at the end of the show. But nonetheless, they're also worried about that action and adjusting those odds as well, because you got a lot of futures action coming in right now on season win totals in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, there's so much going on right now. I mean, it's absolutely insane in the marketplace. But, you know, as we talked about in the previous segment with Rolf Michaels, talking about looking for opportunities in the NIT, CBI, and CIT, because it's kind of a forgotten market with everyone staring at March Madness, filling out brackets. The public's actually moving March Madness lines. So, again, the NBA, I mean, there's good opportunities to be had. When there's something that everybody's focusing on, and this isn't like the Super Bowl where, you know, games in the NBA and the NHL are played in the afternoon on Super Bowl Sunday. You know, this is one of those things where everything else, the NBA, the NHL, now Major League Baseball, still going on while March Madness is going on. There's only so many hours in the day. There's so many eyes on these things at the sports books. There's a lot of opportunity out there in non-March Madness things. And March Madness is fun. It's awesome. The entertainment value is off the charts. The betting value is in pretty much everything else.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, March Madness is probably the big watch event over an extended period of time in any sport, anywhere, anytime. You know, you may have 4 days of the Masters where they get high ratings or this, that, or the other, and the Super Bowl on a one-day event. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the one that even the average Joe recreational bettor, you know, will actually put money on, either with their brackets, obviously. Office pools are through the roof. Look at all the over 7.5 million submittals already on ESPN. And 10 million on CBS Sports, where they have brackets online and these different things. So you've got a lot of people involved here. And you've also got a lot of the public, as you mentioned, and I think that's key. That's something that your listeners should be very aware of. These lines are usually, when lines are being driven around right now before the games are played, which they are, it's usually sharp money early. It's not that way. It's public money early. You know, public is already excited about betting these games, and they're going to be betting big favorites and this, that, and the other. And I guess the best advice that I can give for you is keep letting those double-digit favorites, you know, get bet on by the public and drive that number up and be looking to take underdogs. Because if you're not looking to take underdogs of 4 points or more in this tournament, I'm not kidding you, and I tell you, you can mark my words on this, you're going to lose your ass, because there is a lot of parity in this tournament, you know, and a lot of times, as you mentioned, these other smaller tournaments, especially the NIT, which tips off tonight, there is a lot more advantage in these smaller tournaments than the big dance, in my opinion, Adam, and I usually have as many plays out of the NIT and CIT and stuff as I do out of the NCAA tournament overall at the end of March Madness, because that's where the value is.
So again, as you mentioned there, you know, looking for underdogs, waiting on some of those big favorites to keep driven up, keep getting their prices driven up. Are there any other general betting tips before we dig into the Midwest region that you want people to keep in mind for any of the four postseason tournaments here?
Well, just the postseason tournaments in general outside of March Madness, you know, they're home road games. And again, you know, you always, the best advice I could give you, and I sat down with my, one of my college basketball analysts that's on my staff and used to set odds here in Vegas for 10 years for 7 different sports books. This guy's about as knowledgeable as they come. He's on my team. And he was telling me, we were going through some NIT games yesterday, and I was throwing out some teams. And he just said, you know, Tony, I'm going to stop you right there. He said, I've set up these odds. He goes, there's no reason at any point in time in the NIT for you to be taking Power 5 conference teams in the first round. You fade them all, especially teams that were on the bubble. You fade them. You know, and he said, this is, you know, he did this last year and hit like, I think it was like almost 70% in the first round, you know. So you have to worry. The difference between those tournaments and the NCAA, everybody's motivated to be in the NCAA tournament. The top 68 teams, there's going to be, you know, 4 eliminated here in the next 2 days, but, or 2 of them. But here's the thing, you know, The NIT, there's lack of motivation. Some of these smaller tournaments, there is lack of motivation that they're there. They're not in the big dance. You know, teams like maybe North Carolina State tonight, you know, you just go down the list. You know, they're laying big numbers against teams that have 27, 25 wins. You know, And then you start looking at the stats in those games. Well, you know, it's kind of like the old movie Hoosiers, when Gene Hackman took him into the gym when they were ready to play in the state final, and he got out the tape measure and measured from the rim to the floor and from the rim to the free throw line. He goes, these are exact same measurements as what we have back in our gym in Hickory. Well, same thing here. Don't lie. If a team's shooting 49% from the floor and 39% from three-point range and 83% from free throws, playing a team that's shooting 39 and 27 and 64, it's still the same dimensions. It's still what they're shooting, and you really need to look at those stats, you know, offensive and defensive production, you know, offensive field goal efficiency and some of those rankings, because the floor is still the same size. And you find a ton of great angles in the NIT in these smaller tournaments where you can really find a difference. Forget, throw out the name recognition. Just look at the stats, especially the last five-game stats, when everybody, and I mean especially anybody in the postseason, where everybody brought their A game, the best they could possibly bring to the floor for their last five games. Most of them involved two or three games in a conference tournament. So be sure and look at those numbers and just cover up the fact that it's a big-name ACC school or big-name Big 12 or Big 10 school against, you know, somebody from the Sun Belt. Just cover up those and look at those stats and circle them. Then you'll, when you reveal the names of the schools, you'll see so-and-so with all these better stats is getting 10.5, you know. And, you know, sometimes it's a tough pill to swallow, but based on results you've seen this year, folks, nothing is going to surprise anybody here in the next couple of weeks.
I do want to ask you real quickly about one specific team here. I know you know the Missouri Valley Conference really well. Loyola Chicago, you know, they make that huge run in the NCAA tournament last year. This year, they didn't even make it past Bradley in their conference tournament. They're catching a big number here tonight against Creighton. I'm kind of curious about this because on one hand, I can say, all right, look, this is a team that made a huge NCAA tournament run last year. They're disappointed to be where they are. They don't want to be playing Creighton. They want to be playing Thursday or Friday night. On the other hand, I can say, well, you know what? They didn't lose in the conference tournament final. They lost before that point. So, you know, it's sort of one of those things where I'm kind of curious about what Loyola Chicago's mindset is here. I mean, a lot of the same personnel from last year's NCAA tournament team. You know, I'm just sort of wondering, like, where do you think they're at right now?
Well, I'll tell you where they're at. They're in a role of an underdog. You better grab some points with them. And the key to that statement is exactly what you just said. Adam, you hit the nail right on the head. If they would have lost to Bradley in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game in a thriller, I would say they were probably fade material. They lost early on. They had a bad game. They did lose. Bear this in mind. They did lose to Bradley early, but Bradley won the Mo Valley Conference Championship and peaked at the right time. And Bradley is a viable basketball team that put it all together when they had to put it all together. Loyola's had an added 2 days to think about that loss heading into this. And Creighton, talk about dejection. They grabbed defeat from the jaws of victory against Seton Hall, let Hawkins absolutely run ramshot over him in that game. So without question here, I think Bradley, I wouldn't say they're a live dog, you know, and Creighton has got a very good basketball. McDermott is an extremely talented basketball coach. Don't get me wrong about Creighton, but you know, they've also had some distractions with all this flooding there in Omaha and all the things that are going on there. And I just think I think Bradley probably is a right dog tonight. Loyola might want to take a look at Loyola tonight.
All right, so let's go to the Midwest region here for the NCAA tournament. Once we get to the Sweet 16, this will be in Kansas City. We'll talk about that in a minute and the potential implications with that. North Carolina is going to beat Iona. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Utah State and Washington to see who gets the right to play North Carolina. Pretty interesting game there because you've got a mid-major that everybody wants to root for in Utah State and a Washington team that got blown out by 20 in its Pac-12 championship final, was the only team that was going to make the tournament from that bad Power 5 conference. Nobody wants to back Washington. So this is a really interesting game here of people want a Cinderella story against a team that, you know, plays really has a more impressive overall body of work just because they're in a major conference.
Yeah, this is a real tough call. And I'm, you know, if you watch any of these, and I'm sure that players and coaches and especially fans watch all these, you know, bracketology shows on ESPN and Fox and CBS, you know, CBS Sports and all the different venues there, they're all pretty much saying that Washington's a piece of crap, that they don't stand a chance, that they're overrated. They were in a weak conference. You know, they got beat up when it counted. You know, they haven't played anybody. You know, trust me, that's all bulletin board material for this team. Washington is probably going to bring their best game of the year into this game. Now, I saw Utah State play here in Las Vegas in the Mountain West tournament, and I've watched them play basketball a couple times this year, including upending Nevada and all this and that and the other. They're a very, very good basketball team. And they're very well coached. The first thing I look at, honestly, Adam, the first thing I look at in this game is, the first thing that popped into my mind, absolutely zero value with that line. I don't think there's any value with that. I think that at the end of the day that with Utah State's offense, you know, they put up 84 points versus 64 points, what Washington did in their last five games. And they're allowing a little bit more on defense here. But you're talking about a Utah State team that hit 50% from the floor and 36% from the three-point range and 73% from the free throw line. And this is a team, one thing I noticed about Utah State, they crash the offensive glass just about as good as anybody in basketball. They really get after it. There's a huge advantage for them because Washington does not. And I think that may be where the game is won here, just on basic fundamentals. And I think Utah State probably should be favored by this much. But honestly, I don't see a lot of value in this game.
Yeah, Utah State a 2.5-point favorite. And it's interesting because they face this Washington matchup zone. Of course, Washington's head coach, former assistant under Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. So, you know, Washington plays this zone that Utah State doesn't see. But also, when you play a zone, you don't rebound well defensively, which is what Washington's biggest issue has been here this year. So a lot of nuance to this game, I think, to where it's probably more of a coin flip than the court of public opinion would tell you. But I agree with you.
Right.
This line is, you know, probably in the area that it should be in. One interesting note, both of these teams long way away from Columbus. So there's also that as well. But you know, you're talking about location. Auburn, New Mexico State, Kansas, and Northeastern in the altitude of Salt Lake City. Interesting pod here for the 5-12-4-13. Let's start with Auburn and New Mexico State here. Auburn took advantage of a lighter schedule in the SEC Conference Tournament. Kudos to them for that. New Mexico State wins the WAC every single year, it feels like. So they've been there, done that, but they take on an Auburn team playing its best ball at the right time.
Yeah, they peaked well, and Pearl's got them playing well. That's a very, very good point. And, you know, it's about right here, right now. But at the end of the day, I can tell you something. New Mexico State is absolutely no joke. No joke. And the winner of this game gets Kansas or Northeastern, which I think Kansas will manage to pull this one. I think this is a tournament game Kansas can win. I'm not so sure they can advance past this against Auburn or even New Mexico State, who's got, well, like, I think they've got, don't quote me here, Adam, you'll have to look. They have four losses. They played Kansas earlier this year, New Mexico State did, in Kansas City in a tournament, in a pre, you know, conference tournament. I was in Kansas City and went to this game. And New Mexico State absolutely, they dominated Kansas in that game till the very end of the game. They lost 63-60. And they're an extremely good basketball team. They're extremely well coached. They do a lot of things very well. This is not going to be an easy game for Auburn by any stretch of the imagination. I'm telling you, there's just, unless you're a one playing a 16, and let's just throw Virginia last year out the window, any of these games here, you know, you almost got to think there's a lot of live dogs involved in the opening round. And I would definitely say that if Auburn does not bring their A game against New Mexico State, they're going to be in for quite a tussle, Adam.
Well, we do see New Mexico State, the preferred side here, lying down from 7-6 total on that game, up from 143-145. So I do think a higher scoring game helps Auburn, but we are seeing the line move in the opposite direction. So that's interesting. You know, you mentioned Kansas. Obviously, you're a guy that follows the Big 12 very closely. We'll get to Iowa State here in a second, but it sounds like you're very worried about Kansas. You know, you think they'll beat Northeastern, but they are laying 7 here in that matchup.
Yeah, I'm and we've talked about this, you know, people who tune into this show every week, which they absolutely should. It's one of the best shows on the internet. But that being said, I've been down on Kansas all year long. They're young. They're inconsistent. They don't gain a lot of momentum. Game a lot of times. They've had serious issues with outside shooting. I think they went, 0-for-12 or something like that against Iowa State at the Sprint Center in the Big 12 championship game before they even hit a three. They don't really have a true point guard. Their backcourt is not as strong as it used to be. Bill Self is a good basketball coach. He's been spoiled with a lot of talent. He's been challenged this year because he's lost a lot of his players. He has a lot of youth. And they just don't seem to be on the same page a lot of times. They give up a lot of points in transition. A lot of times they get lazy in transition, which is usually not a Bill Self team trait. But for one reason or another, it's just the way they played this year. And honestly, I will tell you, first of all, if by some reason, I think Kansas will win, and Northeastern's not a bad club. I think they might want to make a statement, come out. It's a team that they can beat without question. My next thing is going into the next round, whether they're facing Auburn, who is a better basketball team than Kansas, or they're facing New Mexico State. If they were to pull the upset it's a 12-5 seed. You know how those things all work out. You know, over in the course of history, there's always a lot of upsets in the 12-5, even the 11-6s. But at the end of the day, if they get stuck playing New Mexico State, they're not going to be intimidated by Kansas. They've already played. They played them in the Sprint Center in Kansas City, 35 miles from Kansas City's campus. It was a home game, you know, back in it was October or something, whatever. And at the end of the day, they know that they can hang right with them. So Kansas is going to have their hands full in the second round. I really would be surprised if Kansas won. You know, were they playing Thursday on Saturday? I'd be surprised if they won the next game. I just don't think they're living off name recognition here quite a bit. And you saw, you know, what Iowa State did to them, and Bill Self got his ass coached off in that game too, which is surprising. But he got his ass coached off in that Big 12 championship game, and quite frankly, they just got beat by a better team, Adam.
All right, so we talk a lot about Iowa State. We talk about the Hilton Magic, which, you know what, they picked up some magic at the Sprint Center here in the Big 12 Conference Tournament, won that thing. Now they get a nice little draw here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, against an Ohio State team that, quite frankly, I'm surprised even made the tournament, given how they played in the latter portion of the season here. But Iowa State, you know, 5.5-point favorite in that one against the Buckeyes. What do you think about the Cyclones here? Because there's always this question. You know, a team plays really well, 3 games in 3 days, wins the conference tournament. Then they got to sit for 4 days and hope to keep that intensity, hope to keep everything up. Are you worried about Iowa State here, or have they found something late in the year that should push them at least past this game?
Well, I was shocked Ohio State got in the tournament like you. Shocked, actually. That was one that had me scratching my head. I know the Big Ten was relatively strong this year, you know, without question. You had 3 or 4 teams in there that could compete with anybody in the country, you know, anybody, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, the Gonzagas, any of them. You've got, you know, a lot of good teams in the Big Ten. But that being said, in my opinion, Ohio State isn't one of them. Iowa State is, if Iowa State is hitting 3-point shots, they can play with anybody in the country. I mean, have absolutely no illusions. This is a very good team, well coached. They've had lulls during the season, for lack of a better term, that I think that hurt them, where they were disinterested, or they have some youth there. They took some advantages. You know, they overlooked a team when they were playing them. You know, playing them at home. But this is a team that, you know, at the end of the day, I think it is could be one of the sleepers in this bracket. And by the way, this bracket, you know, is an absolute who's who gauntlet in college basketball. You know, with Kentucky, Houston, you know, North Carolina, Kansas, Iowa State, and obviously you got Auburn. I mean, this bracket's loaded. I mean, but it would be surprised me to see somebody Cinderella through here, and the team I would probably see Cinderella through more than any other team in this right now, even though they're a favorite and the sixth seed in the opening round, is Iowa State. Iowa State can give you just a flat out a lot of problems. And they've done well on neutral floors this year. They put up 76 points a game on neutral floors, only allowed 65. And, you know, I think offensively, you know, with Ohio State shooting 37% from the floor their last five games and less than 30% from three-point range, they really don't stand. If this gets into a shootout and Iowa State gets hot, this actually could be a potential blowout in the opening round.
Tony George, professional handicapper over at Doc's Sports. What do you guys got going on over there right now, Tony?
Well, we got a little March Madness stuff going on. I got two NIT games, and I'm on the play-in game tonight between Temple and Belmont, and I'm excited about that game. Got a couple of really good angles in that game, and, of course, the NIT kicks off. Excited about that. Major League Baseball is around the corner. We got an early bird discount there. We're up 144 units last year in Major League Baseball, and, of course, that's right around the corner. So as much excitement as there is, Adam, in March Madness, when you win 144 units in baseball and win a $200 player over 16 grand, and that's all documented, you kind of get excited about that upcoming season. And we've got 150 off my season pass there, all over there at DocSports.com. And, of course, we do a daily YouTube video over there at Docs. And that's up on YouTube. And I did want to take this time quickly to announce that I'm going to be doing a half-hour studio show, a high-end deal out here in Las Vegas, starting in about 2 weeks. And that's going to be on Doc's YouTube channel and various outlets around the Internet. And we're excited about getting that put up. Hang on, I even talked to our buddy Ryan over at Bang the Book, see if he wants to tap into that. But we're excited about that. It's going to be something like you've never seen in terms of a handicapping show. So I'm very excited about that as well, Adam.
Well, congratulations to you for that, Tony. Definitely looking forward to checking that out. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TGeorgeSports. Tony George from Doc Sports, appreciate the time as always, man. Thank you so much. We'll chat with you again next week.
Well, Adam, I wanted to tell you, you got my email, so you send me like three or four different angles on your bracket. I need some help with my bracket this year.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Take care.
All right.